Well, good morning. I got one of my fellow EIS officers in here, so they'll probably give me some hard questions. Y'all are going to have to help me out. Well, I'm with the Bacterial Special Pathogens branch, and one of the bugs we work with is anthrax. And this is going to be about an investigation we did in 2012 that turned out to be mainly cutaneous anthrax in the Republic of Georgia. I'm from Georgia, but then I went to the other Georgia. And I didn't have anything to disclose. On this graph here, you'll see, can everybody hear me okay? I usually don't need a microphone for some reason, but this is the cases in the Republic of Georgia of both human and livestock cases from 1996 to 2012. As you can see, the human cases have waxed and waned since 1996. But in 2012, they had an extraordinary amount with 142 cases in 1 year. While the livestock cases, the highest they'd had was 35 in 2012 also. When you look at these two peaks, this is the opposite of what you would expect if you had appropriate animal surveillance in place. So normally you see an epizootic, you see more animal deaths with maybe some human cases. And in this example, you see there's a few livestock cases associated with many human anthrax cases. So essentially, humans are acting as sentinels for livestock cases. A little bit about the bug itself, Bacillus anthracis, gram-positive, encapsulated, spore-forming rod. There's two forms. When it's inside the body and in tissue, it's a vegetative form. And then when it gets into the environment and it's inhospitable, it becomes a spore, which can last for years in the soil. There's been a lot of concern about bioterrorism, but it's a naturally occurring zoonotic disease, even here in the U.S. Human cases are primarily from infected animals or exposure to products from infected animals. Cutaneous anthrax is usually greater than 90% of the detected cases, and the incubation period is usually about 1 to 7 days. And we don't advertise this, but if you cook the meat well, then you're not as susceptible to GI anthrax. But if you eat undercooked meat, you can get gastrointestinal form. The natural infection cycle, and we'll spend a little time on this because it was important to our study. Initially, the reservoir is in the soil where the anthrax spores from that formed when the blood and body fluids drained out from the carcass that succumbed from an animal that succumbed to anthrax. So it's just sitting there in the soil. The most susceptible animals after that are herbivores who are grazing on these fields and grazing over former sites where these animals have died. Then the most common sign that you find with anthrax cases in livestock is you just find cattle dead. As they die, then their blood and body fluids go into the soil, forms spores, and that's your natural cycle. This can, besides herbivore cattle, which is primarily in the U.S. and was the primary species in the Republic of Georgia, you can have wildlife, especially in countries in Africa. There can be some pretty good epizootics there. Human disease occurs from exposure to the infected animals and or their products. Here is this was the biggest lesion I saw while I was in the Republic of Georgia on a fellow's arm in Kakheti province. It's not associated with soil exposure with the human disease. The soil exposure does lead to a herbivore disease, but it's rare for it to cause human disease. A little bit about the background before we went over and conducted our investigation. This is the epidemic curve of the cases that had occurred before we were contacted. There were 70 cases. This was three times the amount they'd had by that time in 2011. So on July 31st, they contacted us, the Ministry of Health, and wanted some assistance on investigating the calls and maybe assisting them with surveillance. Well, the first thing we did is we met with the stakeholders. They did not have a history of One Health cooperation. Their National Centers for Disease Control was the human side, and the National Food Agency was the agriculture side, and they were just doing their own thing on either side. So we met, we brought them together, we had a discussion to see what their goals were, what they thought were some areas where we could assist, and from that we decided, you know, what kind of evidence could we gain to assist them. Well, the first thing we found out is that the National Food Agency, responsible for the animal side, the livestock side, they really truly believed that the human cases were occurring from soil exposures. So this is what they wanted. They wanted something to scorch the ground, to kill, after a carcass had been found, to, you know, clean the area of spores. They were even concrete and grave sites and fencing them off. So they were really putting most of their emphasis on carcass sites. However, they were not pushing for vaccination of cattle. Here are the human anthrax cases that have occurred in the U.S. from 1951 to 2007. As you can see, the cases have slowly decreased since 51. And in 57, that's when annual livestock vaccinations were recommended. And you can see the precipitous drop in cases from there. Of course, the 2001 was a bioterrorism attack from the anthrax letters. That was not a natural exposure, so that's a unusual peak there. But this, and this is a graph that we showed the NFA and the NCDC to say this is what we've even done in the U.S. to reduce our cases. But with their understanding and what, after speaking with them, we decided we'd go ahead and conduct a case control study and try to get some evidence to see what were the exposures, the risk factors associated with their anthrax epidemic. And we wanted to assist them with both the human and the animal surveillance for cases. Republic of Georgia is an Eastern European country. It's located within the black circle here, prior Soviet country. This is a map of the Republic of Georgia. This shows the number of cases that occurred by of those 70 that were in the epidemic curve. This shows where they occurred. And as you can see, 80-plus percent had occurred in two regions in the southeast, in Kvermo-Kartli and Kakheti regions, located next to Russia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia. Since there were so many cases, the other 13 cases were scattered throughout the country. We decided to conduct our case control study in those two regions because we could capture the most cases, of course. Our case definition was either a positive culture from patients or they had the clinical signs, which were lesions progressing, skin lesions progressing to an eschar, and plus a positive PCR. For each case that we interviewed, we found two controls. We did it by place of residence within 250 meters, pretty much go to the case's house, interview them, then we'd go to the right and then to the left and until we found a control in either direction. And they were also matched by gender. We conducted our interviews during the day, and most of the farmers were out in the fields, so we would miss the a lot of the males if we hadn't. And we ascertained exposures 1 month prior to the associated cases onset. So for both controls, we asked about the same period for that case. There were adults greater than 18 years of age, and cases that occurred from 1 April to 31 October were eligible. So it was both retrospectively, and then even after I left, they were still enrolling cases prospectively, because the normal peak for anthrax cases in prior years had been in September, October, toward the end of the year. So this was an unusual number of cases early in the year. While we're at it, we did a convenience sample of that we called a cross-sectional study. We asked all cases and controls if they owned or worked with livestock, and we asked some additional questions about the three things, that human activities, environmental factors, and we ascertained exposures 6 months prior. What was going on with you and your livestock the 6 months prior to that interview date? As you can see, most of the cases were male, 87%, and 46% were from one district, Gardabani. Gardabani and Salka are two districts in Cavermo-Cartley region, and they had the most and the third most, and then Sagarejo is in Cajete region. Sagarejo and Gardabani actually border each other, so that's where a lot of the cases were. As far as between cases and controls, you can see that their nationalities were relatively similar. There were 7 years between their median ages, but that didn't prove to be significant. For occupation, over half of them were animal-related with the cases, and 27% were animal-related professions. And you can see we divided them into four categories there, including a couple veterinarians. The other most reported category was housewives who were handling the meat and preparing it for their families. Here were the odds ratios that came back from the univariate. You can see every one of these have livestock in it or something to do with the farm. They're all animal-related factors, which is pretty much, it's what's in the literature, it's what we know, but we needed to show officials at the Republic of Georgia that these are the important factors to focus on. However, the soil ones were not significantly associated with the anthrax cases, which specifically addressed one of the issues that they were concerned with. And we found a couple that were protective if they had bought meat at a butcher shop and or if they covered their meat, covered their skin when they were working with meat, they had less anthrax as compared to controls. For the cross-sectional study, we ended up with 212 case control participants. Out of them, 62%, 131, had owned or worked with animals, so they were eligible and participated in our cross-sectional. The most interesting frequencies that we got and reported here is that almost half had vaccinated their livestock for anthrax. Only 16% had moved their livestock more than 1 kilometer in the prior 6 months, which is important. Where are their livestock getting sick? Are they getting sick on their own farms? Or are they going somewhere else? Are there regular travel patterns where there's carcasses where they might be getting exposed? 12% had had sick livestock, and almost 9% had found dead animals in the prior 6 months. Each of our main questions had sub-questions, and this is the results for if they'd had sick livestock. We asked them As you can see, out of 15 that it had sick livestock, 14 we had 14 respondents, and 64% said they had anthrax-related symptoms, which included sudden death and or head or neck swelling. 8% or 80% reported that they'd of their sick livestock had eventually died, and 20%, but out of 10 respondents, had sold or slaughtered their livestock for consumption, either sick or, as you can see here, this is for the sub-questions for the livestock that died suddenly. 2 out of 8 had processed a dead animal for meat. Out of the ones that did not vaccinate for livestock, there were 68 that reported that out of 121. However, we had a very low response rate. There was only 15 answered about whether they knew about anthrax vaccination or not, but 10 said they did know about it, so 60, about two-thirds, knew about it. And as far as affordability, we only had 16 respondents, and most said that they could afford it. So for the case control study conclusions, the factors that we found were strongly associated with exposure to sick or dead animals. Even after multivariate slaughter, participating in slaughter animal maintained high odds. Soil exposures were not associated with human anthrax, which was important to show the National Food Agency. And buying meat from butchers and covering wounds when handling meat were protective. This is the guidelines produced by the World Health Organization, the Animal Health Organization, and the FAO, Food and Agriculture of the United Nations. And it has buying, you know, inspected meat and protecting yourself when handling livestock are a couple of the guidelines that are found in here. Also vaccination, how to take care of carcasses. This is the Bible for controlling anthrax in a country, and which we presented to the Republic of Georgia. We didn't come up with anything new. So with the cross-sectional study, with the number of sick animals and with anthrax-related symptoms, and you would expect this, scientifically, that there was an animal anthrax outbreak that was undetected, that they weren't catching the cases. So we were recommended that they work harder on surveillance there. Surprisingly, 1/5 of animals would process sick or livestock found dead. Some of these areas were pretty resource deprived, so it was difficult to let potential protein go. Half the folks vaccinated for anthrax, which was sort of surprising to us, but I'll get into some limitations with that. Then of those that did not vaccinate, even though we had low response rate, we thought it was important to report some of the findings that we did find, that a third were not even aware that there was a vaccine available, and a quarter could not afford the vaccine if they knew about it. The limitations, as I was saying, we had a poor response rate, but we also didn't ask about the timing. I was the primary one developing the questionnaire, so that's my fault. But we just asked about vaccination, but we didn't think about saying, well, did you vaccinate after you, your neighbor, or your animal got a case? And talking to a couple of the farmers, that's what had happened. They had had a case, and they went and bought their own vaccine and vaccinated. So that was a big limitation of the findings for that. And the low response rate, talking about affordability, you're talking about economic status, you're also talking about knowing how to take care of your animals. So some folks might have been reticent to answer those questions or give us the complete truth. Our recommendations were just to follow the existing guidance, with the primary recommendations to increase your surveillance because we think you're missing livestock cases, and also to reinstitute your livestock vaccination program. Also, when you do find the cases, there's standard recommendations within those guidelines for quarantining farms, for decontaminating carcasses, disinfecting sites, and protecting yourself when handling these animals. It appeared that if they could train or get public health messaging out to both their to the medical staff, including human and the veterinary side, for both for case detection and prevention, would be of assistance for the country. And also public health campaigns, with the number of people processing sick animals, we wanted to get the message out that maybe starting in April when this outbreak started and going through October, the normal anthrax season, and say, yes, anthrax is out there. If you see these symptoms, call your veterinarian. It's important. And we please do not process these animals for consumption. And if you see these kind of, if you get skin wounds, please, or bloody diarrhea, please let your doc know that you've had animal cases. So we think we changed their focus from soil exposure and concentrating on that to an animal exposure, and we thought this cow was happy about that. Anybody tell me what her age is?
No.
Oh, man. I'm thinking about 4.5. Besides my co-authors, this is a lot of the folks I worked with, so I'll take questions at this time.
Actually, if you don't mind, can we hold the questions till the end?
Sure.
Because I have a couple, but yeah, just to keep us on time, I appreciate it. Thanks, Tom.